Time to take a look at some of the headlines around the National Football League, and helping us to do that is Clark Judge from CBSSports.com. Clark, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure to be here, Vic. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, let's start in Oakland, Clark, where Hugh Jackson is out as head coach of the Raiders. And I know they bring in a new general manager, Reggie McKenzie from the Packers. But is there, and you're going to have change, but is there any surprise to the fact that you had Hugh Jackson have a big role in pulling off the major trade for Carson Palmer to come there as quarterback from Cincinnati? He's out now.
Yeah, no, there is a surprise. I mean, each year there's always one head coaching shocker, sort of, and this was it. Not necessarily that it happened, but that it happened this quickly. I mean, Reggie McKenzie comes in as a GM one day, and the next day, boom, Hugh Jackson is gone. When you said he sort of had a role, yeah, he not only had a role, he was the guy who brought in Carson Palmer. He's the one that pulled off the trade, and he's also the guy who said it's the greatest trade in the history of the NFL. I don't know about that. But you make that trade, then you lead the league in penalties. You go 1-4 down the stretch. You don't win the division. There are numbers of things. Plus, I mean, honestly, what I hear from people out there who know that team, in and out of that team, players didn't like Hugh Jackson. And they felt as if he got a little too much power. And at the end, remember after they lost to San Diego, he threw that team under the bus. Players didn't appreciate that either. And I think McKenzie comes in there and kind of looks at the scene and says, okay, we're going to make some changes. And I'll tell you what it tells me, Vic, is that they're moving farther and farther and really fast away from the Al Davis era. Hugh Jackson was a hand-picked successor to Tom Cable by Al Davis. Al Davis put him in charge there. And after games, Hugh Jackson, especially wins, Hugh Jackson often would invoke the memory of Al Davis or the words of Al Davis and talk fondly about him. Well, now there's another connection with Al Davis that's gone. We're really moving in a very different direction for the Oakland Raiders. And the farther we move, the farther we move away from Al Davis.
Clark, can you see Reggie McKenzie bringing in a philosophy that would be very similar to what we know the Packers' approach to be? And is it possible to really kind of transplant that in terms of how they've built that program and the structure of an offense that's really, with Mike McCarthy there, West Coast based, as opposed to trying to go for the, you know, those long shot plays and the things that, as you say, define the Al Davis era?
Sure, absolutely I can. I think it's a brave new world for Oakland now, and not necessarily a bad one. I think they're going in a new direction, and you know, you look at where they've been since 2002, Vic, and that's a good deal, because since 2002, they haven't done anything. They've had a lot of losing years. They were 8-8 this year. The door is wide open for them to win that division, and they couldn't close it. And so, yeah, I think there will be a different philosophy. There's going to be a new head coach, new assistants, and they're going to be new players, too. But, you know, they've got a quarterback in place you think is a franchise quarterback, and the reason they got him in there was because he could get the ball down the field. Well, you're not suddenly going to say, okay, Carson Palmer, change your game, but there will be a bit of a different philosophy, and I think it probably is time, and it's overdue, and, you know, we'll see where the Raiders go from here, but the good news for them is they're in a division where anything's possible. Three teams were 8-8, and the last place team was 7-9, so you're right there.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have a new owner, and now they have a new head coach, Mike Mularkey. I should say a new permanent head coach, if permanent's even a word we can use in the NFL or pro sports. But Mike Mularkey taking over now, and he's, of course, formerly the offensive coordinator of the Falcons. He has been a head coach in Buffalo. Is there reason to think, because he had that time in Buffalo that did not work out well for him as a head coach, is there reason to think that Mike's better equipped to handle a head coaching job now?
Not based on what I saw last weekend. I was at that Giants game with Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta got 2 points, and they weren't by the offense. Eli Manning served him up to him. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, you certainly know of him from your Buffalo background. And I'll tell you what I remember from that experience, Vic, was the year when they were 9-7. They were 9-6, and they had a home game, the last game of the season, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were already in, already clinched. And it was meaningless to Pittsburgh, and all Buffalo had to do was win at home against the backups for the Steelers, and they couldn't close the deal. And they had better talent, certainly, than Jacksonville does. And I know what the hope is. The hope is that you bring him in here to make Blaine Gabbert a better quarterback. You draft Blaine Gabbert because you think he's going to be your franchise quarterback, and he struggled this year, and you say, well, okay, we want to get him to the point where we think he can be much better than this. Based on what I saw this year, I don't know if that's possible. I really don't. I mean, I saw a lot of indecision, a lot of bad passes, a lot of mistakes. He needs somebody to help him. I don't know that Mike Mularkey's the guy. He works with Matt Ryan, and you say, well, okay, there's reason to believe that he can, you know, do something with Gabbert because he did it with Ryan. This is not Matt Ryan we're talking about. This is a different quarterback. So I think that's why he's in there, is because they certainly want to make Gabbert the centerpiece of the rebuilding effort here. But good luck to you, and good luck with Mike Mularkey, because this ain't going to sell tickets.
Checking some of the headlines around the National Football League with Clark Judge from CBSSports.com here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, Clark, when we look at the New York Jets, there are so many different stories there, but let's start with this one. Brian Schottenheimer out as offensive coordinator, and the idea is that Tony Sparano, former head coach of the Dolphins, would be the guy who's expected to be in. But what do you make of, first of all, of Schottenheimer being out, especially in light of a lot of the, and you know, Daily News story, New York Daily News story comes out with anonymous players and others being quoted as saying that Mark Sanchez is a lazy guy, doesn't want to work real hard, doesn't really invest what he needs to. That sounds like the worst enemy of an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of different things here that are going on here, Vic. One is the Schottenheimer story. The other is that one that you just mentioned. The one that you just mentioned, let's deal with first, and that's the players who are talking about Sanchez, and would they like Peyton Manning to come in here? Absolutely, they'd like Peyton Manning to come in here. Well, you ask, 90% of the teams or players around the league, would you want Peyton Manning? They'd say yes. I mean, only New England or Green Bay or New Orleans would they say no. And so that to me is sort of a non-story. It's more a reflection of Mark Sanchez, the quotes about Sanchez, I thought were interesting. But, last time I checked, Rex Ryan's running this team, and Rex Ryan said, Mark Sanchez is my quarterback for the future. He's going to be a good one. I believe in him. Okay, well, Mark Sanchez isn't going anywhere. So and we also know that Peyton Manning may not be going anywhere either, and he may not play again. I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of questions about Peyton Manning that need to be resolved. So that's one issue. The other is Brian Schottenheimer. Somebody's going to be a scapegoat for this year. Guess what? Brian Schottenheimer is that guy. And so they're bringing in, it looks like, Tony Sparano to run that offense. Bill Callahan's out, too. That's a huge loss for him, the offensive line coach. But there are really not many offensive line coaches I can think of, Mike Solari maybe in San Francisco, who are better than Bill Callahan, and they lose him. And that's a big subtraction for the Jets. But the Schottenheimer deal, he's taken a lot of criticism. Rex and Mike Tannenbaum stood behind him and said, oh, he's going to be our offensive coordinator. Now he's gone, and there's a suspicion that he could be going to Tampa Bay if his dad gets that job. Marty's interviewing there. I don't know that Marty's going to get that job. If he did, absolutely he'd follow him. But Brian Schottenheimer is not to blame for what happened here. Honestly, I'd start at the top. They didn't bring in the right players. They didn't have the ground-and-pound aspect that they've had in the years past. A year ago, Brian Schottenheimer was a genius. 2 years ago, he was on everybody's radar as the next head coach. What happened? He didn't get stupid overnight. They just didn't have the players, and you saw that with Santonio Holmes. I mean, made him a captain, for God's sake. And you saw what happened in that last game. So I'd start with the people they put in there. The running game couldn't go anywhere. The offensive line wasn't very good. And if you can't run, you can't do play action with Mark Sanchez, and the whole thing collapses, and it comes down on Brian Schottenheimer's head, and, yeah, he's gone. He's a scapegoat.
The Indianapolis Colts, speaking of maybe scapegoats, if that's the right term here, but after a season that started 0-13, end up cleaning house at the top, Bill Polian out as vice chairman, his son Chris Polian out as general manager, and now, and this is the thing that strikes me about the Colts, hiring Ryan Grigson, formerly of the Eagles, to be their new general manager. Certainly that's not a household name in the NFL, and not the same approach that the Colts took when they hired Bill Polian to be their general manager and then eventually their team president, who by that time had a lot of pelts on the wall with all his success, of course, from the Buffalo Bills, then having been with the Carolina Panthers. So they've really kind of gone with the unknown versus the known quantity they had in Polian 14 years ago.
Yeah, no, that's right, Vic, and it strikes me as, something like we were talking earlier and started this conversation with the Oakland Raiders and what they're doing. It strikes me as somewhat similar in that we're beginning to move away from that Polian era now. We're starting all over. We're starting a complete new setup here, and I don't think there'd be many people out there who would tell you they're not going to draft Andrew Luck, so we're moving in a different direction now. We're kind of moving away from Peyton Manning, although he's still there, and he still might be the quarterback next year and the year after that, but you know, it's a new beginning here for the Indianapolis Colts, and they haven't gone for the household name. They've gone to somebody from a very successful organization and bringing him in, and I think it's a very difficult position for anyone to be in because you're following one of the greats of this game, and that's Bill Polian, in terms of knowing personnel. And he did a remarkable job in Buffalo, did a remarkable job in Carolina, and did the same in Indianapolis. And so you've got to follow that. That's tough. And I don't know many people could do it. Probably it's the right move to take someone who's under the radar and I can learn on the job. Maybe more responsibility goes to Jim Irsay. Maybe more goes to the head coach who comes in. Who knows? But I think if this situation, or if it's Jim Caldwell, and that's the next thing for Ryan Grigson. I think if he comes in there, probably the expectation is that, you know, maybe Caldwell's going to make it. And I didn't think he would, but maybe he's going to make it because this isn't a guy who would have somebody definite in mind. But that's the first question he's going to be asked, much as Reggie McKenzie was asked in Oakland. Do you have the power to fire this guy? I'm sure he does. But he's, you know, new on the job, and he's going to be getting the lay of the land quickly. I think it's an interesting hire. It's one that's out of the box, and it's one that, you know, comes from a club, as I said, with a history of success. So that's why it makes sense, and it makes sense also because it looks like the Colts are going in a completely new direction.
So, Clark, about a half hour after that miraculous Tim Tebow beating the Steelers in overtime, about a half hour after that, the New England Patriots announce that Josh McDaniels, the guy who drafted Tebow, yeah, who brought him to Denver in the first place last year, is going to join them as their as part of their coaching staff, and of course as their
Bringing his camera with him, bringing his film crew with him. Okay. That's what I want to know.
So I mean, are you bugged at all by that? Should there be? I mean, my initial thought here is John Fox is coaching this Bronco team now, and Tim Tebow, whatever Tim Tebow's doing for the Broncos now, is nothing that Josh McDaniels was involved in, because Josh spent this past season, of course, with the St. Louis Rams. So should we just leave it at that, or are you bothered in any way by this?
No, I'm not. I mean, some people are. I'm not. I mean, it's odd. I mean, it's awkward. I mean, why would you do this in the middle of a playoff run? You suddenly bring in somebody in who wasn't there during the season. It's weird. It's just a weird setup. I mean, I just but it's Bill Belichick, so, you know, he gets results, and you think, well, okay, I mean, if you get results, why not? I don't know. This one's it's just odd, but do I think it's unfair or a competitive advantage? No, I don't. I mean, if it were a competitive advantage, Josh McDaniels wouldn't have been fired from there, for goodness sake. I mean, he couldn't win with those guys. So, yeah, he drafted Tebow. He knows something about him, but he's been removed from there for a year. There's a different coaching staff in there, and, you know, you don't have to know too much about Tim Tebow, know how to defend him. You just run the film, and you see what's going on there, and yet people can't stop it. And that's to John Fox's credit, to Tim Tebow's credit, to the Denver Broncos' credit. I think it gives us something to talk about going into this game. I don't think it's a big deal. In fact, I don't think it's much of a deal at all. It's a little bit odd, I think, for the rest of those coaches on the New England staff. Suddenly this guy who was here 3 years ago or something and who was pumping his fist after he beat New England in Denver is back on the coaching staff. It's odd. It's just weird.
Odd and weird. Yeah, those. It's not the first time we've heard those words associated with the Patriots. All right.
Yeah, that's right. And I just, as I said, I don't know why this is a competitive advantage. It's not. Mm-hmm. I think Denver goes in there and does what it did in Denver, you know, last month, which is it runs the ball and it runs up and down the field. And if it can avoid the mistakes that crippled it in the second quarter, people tell me, oh, it's a great Belichick defense. He figured them out. No, he didn't. They fumbled the ball three times in the second quarter. If he'd figured them out, why did they gain 225 yards on their first three possessions? They scored 17 points. I mean, they were going up and down the field.
Yeah.
He didn't defend them. They fumbled the ball. And once you get behind Tom Brady, it's over. And especially if you got Tim Tebow there, because you now are forcing him out of his comfort zone and the Broncos out of their comfort zone. They've got to play hurry up and throw the ball down the field. That's not them. They want to take their time. They've got to stay close here. They can't let New England get away from them. And that's what happened when they fumbled the ball.
Great stuff, Clark, as always. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Vic. Always a pleasure. Check in again.
He is Clark Judge from CBSSports.com. Check out his great work there. And we've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game.